I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm better to talk to you because I would assume you're crazy busy, dude. I mean, this is obviously a busy time in your life. Could you talk about exactly what is going on with, you know, the Ballad of Mona Lisa, that song came out, and you're talking to a bunch of different people. Is it a really hectic time for you right now?
Yeah, it's definitely busy, but we couldn't be more excited. It's really just the process. We're getting ready for tour, and the song is out, and we're gearing up for the album release, and a lot of stuff is going on, but it's stuff that we're totally excited to show and share with people. So it's kind of a positive thing for us to be so busy and so hectic.
Well, that's awesome. Could I share a personal story? I was at a radio station a long time ago, and one of the I was perusing around the internet, and you made me look really friggin' smart because I just found out about, you know, Panic at the Disco, and I heard a song on like MySpace or something. I actually went out and bought the album that day, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, and I showed it to my boss, and I begged him and I begged him and I begged him to play it for like a month until you guys hit like number one in the charts, and then he had to come back to me and be like, "So, we added that song you wanted, but it wasn't because of you. I just want to let you know that everyone else is playing it, so, you know, just keep your eyes out." So thank you for making me look absolutely brilliant for a boss that I hated at the time.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. But I'm glad you have a good ear for music.
Well, it's funny, we heard the song, and everyone was kind of wondering, you know, the Ballad of Mona Lisa, what exactly was it going to sound like? And it sounds like... I'm not going to say it's a more mature sound because I hate when people put those labels on songs, but there sounds like, not necessarily a polish, but it sounds like a technicality, and it sounds, there's a depth to this song that, I mean, I'm going to attribute to years in wisdom. I don't know what you would attribute to, but it sounds like such an incredibly deep song and a complete song. Was there a thought process like different that went into this type of writing?
Yeah, I guess that can probably be lent to, you know, about the time it took to write this record. And that song was sprung from an idea that was a lot older, actually, before the band broke up. And so it had just been sitting in my laptop and just listened to it one day and decided, yeah, let's work on this one. Why not, you know, instead of loathing never working on this thing. So, well, I mean, I'm glad that we decided to pull it out of the laptop and start working on it.
That's kind of awesome. That's like, I can't even equate that to something that I would do in my regular life. I mean, I try to, you know, I'm a DJ. I'm not going to like write breaks and stuff and then bring it back like 2 years later. But I love the fact that you may have been like writing something in this idea and you shelved it for a while and it came back and it struck you in the right way. And then the song just expanded in front of you, kind of.
Yeah, that's a really fun part of the process, you know, when you've had stuff written that you never could get further on, you've got writer's block or whatever reason, and you know, we kind of had a list of songs that we hadn't really touched on that we wanted to bring back, and we loved the ideas, and so we thought, why write more stuff if we have these fun songs that we've had for a while?
That's awesome. We're talking to Brendan from Panic at the Disco, and of course, you know, I have seen a lot that you said it took about 2 years to write the new album. Did you find it that the creative processes were different or even more difficult, or were there certain problems that you encountered that you hadn't encountered before?
Yeah, I guess Spencer and I just spent a lot of time writing with each other. It used to be four of us writing together, and
yeah,
the two of us, so we figured, okay, well, we can kind of talk about it just the two of us. We don't have to worry about two extra opinions, so I guess either we have to work twice as hard or we can just kind of lay back and let one of us lead. And so what we did is, you know, when one of us had to have an idea, we would share it with the other person, and then we were able to just kind of throw ideas back and forth to get, like, a basis of a song. And so, yeah, it was a little different, though. You know, I had to step up lyrically, I guess, and kind of start reading a lot more.
It's kind of funny. It sounds like you're talking to this. Panic at the Disco was a foursome, and now it's a twosome, and it seems like the world is kind of really revolving around these duets or these twosomes. There's a lot of new stuff from just two people in a band that are coming out lately, and obviously the creative process is different. I'm not going to say that either one is better or worse, but was it a more cohesive thing because you two just had two, or were there moments where you were frustrated because you didn't get enough ideas out of each other?
Yeah, I think it was great, and then it was really bad. Like, there were moments where we were, you know, so bummed that we couldn't, you know, meet eye to eye on one idea, or that it wasn't sounding the way we wanted it to, so we would, like, scrap it and then start it again. And then, yeah, it was really frustrating. But then that also kind of, there was an adverse side. It was, well, we were really stoked, and we thought, wow, how are we, like, right on the same page with this? And everything that we would say to each other about the songs was really exciting, and, you know, just learning new instruments and playing new parts. And, yes, yeah, so it was good and really, really, really bad.
Well, I mean, and that might lend lend itself to going into talking about producers that you guys worked with. And I've got to say, I've met Butch Walker, and he's an amazing dude. And you also worked with John Feldman. These are two guys that were kind of heroes of mine growing up. They're kind of what got me into the scene to begin with. What was the experience working with two guys that have that much, not just, you know, musical knowledge, but also production knowledge behind them?
Yeah, working with both of them was amazing. I think we were kind of skeptical at the beginning of it, thinking, okay, well, we've always just written as a band and never, you know, just met somebody to write in like a writing session, and we're just learning that this happens all the time. It was like this crazy phenomenon that we'd never heard about. So that was, you know, really weird going into it. But as soon as we met John Feldman, you know, I had been, you know, fans of his since, oh God, I mean, I was the Goldfinger, and I was, you know, listening to all the records he had produced, The Used and Betrayu and all these people. So it was really exciting to meet him. I think we kind of fanned out, me especially. I was just fanning out, telling him, like, you know, giving him praises. And he was really nice about it, really cool, and made it really comfortable to work with him. And Butch as well. Butch's production is so amazing, and I just kind of nerded out with him about that, too. And he was so, you know, so nice and kind enough to actually share some of his little tricks with me in the studio. And I, you know, I'm just now getting into recording. So I think the whole process was just a huge learning experience for us.
Well, you know, it's really funny. I happened to meet him. I was on a show on Fuse, you know, years ago, and Butch Walker was also on it at the time. And I can completely relate because I just sat there and I was like, I really like your tattoos. And that was literally the bulk of the conversation that I could muster against Butch Walker. That's all I could bring up. Be like, so did it hurt? And I have tattoos. I know how much it hurts. It's not like it's anything that I'm not familiar with. I can't really imagine getting in depth, like trying to figure out Butch Walker's mind. It's crazy to me.
Oh, totally, yeah. It's like talking to them. You're just so inarticulate. You can't get the words across. You're like, oh, man, how do I... You know so much more about this than I do. How do I even strike up a conversation with someone that's got this, you know, much experience in music?
But apparently you did, and it seems to be working. It seems to be working. Obviously, let's talk about The Ballad of Mona Lisa. We already talked about that a bit, actually. Is this kind of like the feel and the vibe of what the album is going to be coming out, or do you throw some left hooks? Do you try to surprise your fans a little bit?
Yeah, we like the left hooks. We like the curveballs. It keeps it interesting for us, you know, so we don't just get tired of playing the same monotonous type of music. And, you know, there is a cohesive quality to it where it all can fit. You know, there is a general theme of our sound. And I think, you know, my voice definitely helps tie it together. But we wanted to, you know, mess around with new types of music we hadn't before, using synthesizers that we hadn't for quite a long time. And so, yeah, it was just a collaboration of missing out on a bunch of stuff and then getting right back into it.
Well, if you're talking about, you know, making music in a different way, and, you know, it's a boon and it's also kind of a deterrent at times, like you were talking, how do you think that the touring aspect is going to be affected? Because, you know, you are used to being a foursome.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, that was something we were kind of concerned about in the beginning, but it worked out. We actually have some friends, Dallin and Ian, who both came from other bands and are respectively great, great musicians on their own. And we were just fortunate enough to have them open up their schedules and say, yeah, no, we're totally down for however long this little bit is going on in the beginning of the year. And so we locked them down for tour, and they seem really excited. We're really excited to have them. They're just amazing musicians. So luckily, we found some people to tour with us, but permanently, you know, we still got to talk about it. And
right.
I don't see why it wouldn't be a possibility, though.
That's awesome. You know what, Brendan? I don't want to keep you on the phone any longer. Dude, I know that you have a crazy schedule, so I just want to thank you so much for calling up Friends or Enemies Radio. Obviously, the response to The Ballad of Mona Lisa has been tremendous so far, and the fire has only been stoked for what the rest of the album will sound like. We're going to play it now. We're going to play it a bunch of times today, so thank you so much for a couple minutes of your time. And, dude, we're really looking forward to that full album. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited. Thanks a lot for talking to me.
Thanks, Brendan. We appreciate it, dude.
Cool. Later.